So, welcome to another in the Moments of Light series, where we're talking with people that have had a light bulb moment, and most importantly, done something about it. And tonight, I'm really, really honoured to have a great guest and author of a new book, Eddie Yu. So welcome, Eddie.
Thank you very much for having me here.
So listen, one of the things I'm fascinated about, I'm only about halfway through the book already, but the book's called Speed Lights and Elephants.
Mm-hmm.
So could you just unpack that for us?
Yeah, I went through a number of book title names, and some of them were pretty vague, some of them were pretty specific, some of them were plain boring, really, just how do you succeed in an online business. And when I started writing the book, and towards the end, I'd put a few sort of like really fun things in, fun metaphors, basically. And it turned out that I'd kind of latched onto this idea of an elephant. And I'd also used, as the other metaphor, the speed light, because for me, having done a lot of photography as well, the speed light is a real sort of like fun element that adds this creative streak to photography. It gives you real control of the lighting. And that really just, for me, is the real spark and energy behind fashion photography specifically. So I use that to symbolize and to talk about all the fun things in business, whether that's online or offline business. And I use elephants to talk about all the things which we don't necessarily want to talk about, but we know we have to talk about to create the solid foundations in business. Things like putting the right infrastructure in, things like getting the right company structure, doing accounts, which we all hate, but we all have to do. So, yeah, that's how that title came about, really.
Well, it's certainly very memorable and certainly not boring, so well done. Congratulations. So, the books, I'm getting some great ideas, even for my own business, from the book. You know, and I've been around the block a few times, so it's great to see you know, a new, fresh perspective and this sort of stuff. And it is indeed, it appears to me, it's a great manual for anyone that wants to set up a business, and then specifically a business online.
That's right, yes.
But you kind of don't have to get very far into the book before some things pop out of you. And I've got this phrase here on page 7, which is, I am, however, free from the confines of a corporate employment, well done, which is great, and I'm financially and spiritually free to live the life the way I choose, which is just fabulous. So there's a very unexpected element which I wasn't expecting to read in the book.
Yes, yeah, the spiritual sort of like life fulfillment element, you mean?
Yeah.
The I guess that comes about from having been in business for 10 years. And whilst I started out and the primary purpose really was to make money, because I was in a lot of debt at the time, and I just needed the quickest opportunity that I could find, something that not only was good but passionate about, something I could latch on to. But over the period of time, as I've developed myself, and I think one of the things that I've learned about being an entrepreneur and sort of pursuing success all this time is that you've got to do a lot of work on yourself, and that work, when you start doing that work, you think that it just benefits you from the business, but ultimately it benefits you in every level, your relationships, your spirituality, your relationships with your family, just your friendships even. Everything improves when you work on your mindset. So, and my business improves as well. So, yeah, absolutely. I had to add that element into the book because I really firmly believe for people that that's the thing that they should start working on, which is why the first part of the book really does concentrate on the mindset element rather than, you know, the technical ins and outs of how do you set up an online business.
Yeah, and that for me, that was so refreshing to see, and if you don't mind me saying so rewarding to see in someone with of your tender years as well, that you've got this very old and wise head on those shoulders.
Yeah, I'm not that tender.
But, you know, the other thing that is kind of key, you also talk about having a meta-strategy.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, so it's not just about making loads of money and...
It's about having a bigger purpose, a higher goal. Yeah. You know, this is something that I've picked up on in, say, the last 4 or 5 years, really. Mm-hmm. in the early years, I certainly didn't have a meta strategy, something that was a much higher purpose. But really, these days, I think that if you're looking to become really successful in whatever you do, you've got to have a big picture outcome, a vision of things in not just the 10-year time span, but in the 30 to 50-year time span. Where do you actually see your life going? And I think that, you know, that having that clear vision of where you want to be will really guide you in the here and now, because what we do today affects what our results are in the future.
And then would you mind me asking, I'm sure everyone listening would like to know, what your meta strategy or strategies are?
Well, my current mission is to create a world without offices, and everything has to line up with this. Essentially, what this is talking about is that we're in a day and age where technology allows us to be able to work from anywhere, to be mobile. And that doesn't mean not meeting people, because I get a lot of people who I explain this to, and the first thing they say to me is that, well, surely, you know, a lot of people aren't going to be able to work like this, because you can't see people, you can't meet people, you know, you're taking away the social interaction. But really, it allows us to increase our social interaction even more, because we can go out to really interesting places to have meetings. So the agenda really is the green agenda, to reduce the amount of office space that we're currently using in the world, because it's currently responsible for about 20% of the CO2 emissions. This is commercial urban spaces around the world. And that's about 10 billion tons annually. So that's a massive impact on global warming. And the sad thing about it is that I had this light bulb moment when I was writing the book. It occurred to me that this was the case. And the fact was that offices are actually empty 70% of the time, if not more than that. And that, to me, was just unacceptable, that we're still building these huge buildings in massive cities, and they're literally going to be empty 70% of the time.
Yeah, well, first off, what a great meta strategy. And I know for a fact that when you have a good meta strategy, things seem to line up behind you to help you fulfill your dreams and goals. So I know already, apart from the fact it's a great book, and I know you're going to sell lots of copies of the book, I know that your strategy is going to pay off big time, which is great. But the other thing with these offices is that they leave the lights on at night and the computers on and this sort of stuff. So the waste is just horrendous,
which is why it doesn't need to be like that. I think that we didn't start off like this as human beings back in the days of tribal society. We started off all being home workers. Everybody worked from home. There was no such thing as an office, or even a centralized work location. Everybody just worked from home, did their thing, and served the tribe. It was only the fact that when humans started to evolve and society started to evolve, that we got together in order to create more stuff, to serve more people, to sell more stuff, and probably to protect more people in the early days. And that then carried on into present day as we continue to evolve and continue to develop. But the thing that created that initial momentum was the need to communicate with people directly in order to get these things done at greater degrees, essentially. So we now have that technology to communicate with anybody globally at any point in time using our mobile devices now. And in fact, when 4G comes along next year, hopefully, we're going to have pretty much high definition video on our mobile devices streaming, which does remove the need to have to centralize everybody in an office, I believe.
Well, that's great. And so you said the light bulb moment and the meta strategy came along while you were writing the book. You didn't even have it when you started writing.
That's right, yes. That's right. And that changed everything completely. It was something that to me towards the end of the book. And as I was writing it and writing the big picture, and the last chapter is very much about future strategy and the meta strategy, which I think people need to think about and put in place, I started to think about my own and what everything had led up to. And, you know, writing a book is very reflective. You kind of look at your entire life and see how things have fit in place and how certain decisions that you've made in the past have led you down a certain path. And for me, it suddenly dawned on me that this was where it had all been leading to. And when I tell you, when I had this light bulb moment, it was just like, you know, like that spine chilling moment. You just have all the hairs on your back standing up. That was like for half an hour. And I just knew this was what I was going to be doing for the rest of my life.
Wonderful. You might be no surprise to you that I know the physiology and psychology and spirituality behind that moment. So I kind of know what's going on.
Yeah.
On many levels when people have that moment. And my meta strategy is to show everybody how can they can have those moments, not at random, but on demand, which is going to be great, because that's going to change a lot of things.
That's fantastic. That is going to change a lot of things.
Well, actually, funny enough, when I do my when I mentor authors and do my author retreats, before we start writing the book or working out what the book title is, the first thing I say is, what do you want that book to do for you? What do you want that book to do for your family? What do you want that book to do for your business? What do you want that book to do for your business contacts? And what do you want the book to do for the planet? When you've established all of those things, then it's time to start writing the book.
Oh, that's a fantastic way to start. It's a fantastic way to get going. In fact, that is exactly part of what I write about in the end of the book is, you know, what is it that you're doing for the planet? How is it good for the planet, essentially? So I think that definitely moving forward, this whole idea of being a green entrepreneur or social entrepreneur is becoming more and more relevant, much more.
Fabulous. I'm glad we dealt with that bit of the book, because it was a refreshing when I got in touch with you.
Yes.
There was something that I can't remember if it was through Mindy or I saw you through Academy or something, but there was just something that drew me to you. And by then, all I could see was this speed lights and elephant that gave me no clues that there was this really rich meta layer inside the book. And that's kind of why we're talking, which is fantastic. But I'd also like to explore some of the really practical things you do in the book. So you've got this, let's say we've got this meta strategy, which is fantastic. And then we got this nuance of an idea that will help us deliver against that meta strategy.
Mm-hmm.
What are the components of making that real? What's the steps in that process?
There's quite a few steps to making that real. Of course, if you've got a really clear meta strategy, then it's more than likely it's going to be sometime in the future, quite far in the future, that you see everything panning out, which means you break everything down into bite-sized chunks that you can deal with on a yearly basis and even on a monthly and weekly basis. So having that clear goal obviously allows you to put in even bigger steps in place in terms of getting there. So, for example, in my strategy, I have a clear goal to set up a digital marketing company for the purpose of getting my foot in the door with corporates, so that when they're ready to have a conversation about outsourcing or more remote working solutions, we've already got our foot in the door, so we can have that conversation with them, and we're not trying to cold sell a remote working solution to them. So that's one level down from that, creating a company to allow that to happen. But then, of course, you have to break that down into workable chunks as to what works the company, and then down into the daily tasks even. So it's about breaking it down into smaller and smaller pieces.
And is it just as simple as taking a small step every day or every hour towards your goal and doing something positive every day?
Absolutely, I think so. For example, on days where I get completely stuck, where maybe I'm having a low day, or maybe I've got so much stuff to do, I just can't decide which to do first. I literally start with the smallest, easiest thing. And it could be as simple as washing the cup I just had coffee in, or something really simple like that, and then just working upwards one thing at a time. And the more I do things and get things accomplished and finished as a task, whatever that task is, the more confident I feel with the things I'm doing that day, and it will lead on. And you build that momentum, and I think that's a strategy that I've always used on days which are very difficult for me. And it's always worked.
And you also talk about in the book of how One of the important components of any successful person is having failures and learning from those failures.
Yeah, totally true. Who hasn't had failures? In fact, I still think that I'm failing, but there you go. I think it's a constant learning process, and if you can't accept that you're going to fail, then I don't think you've got the right initial mindset to begin with. You need to work on that aspect. It's some sort of insecurity that perhaps people have that leads them to think about failure. I mean, what is it that people are so fearful of about failure that stops them from actually acting? I don't really know, but it's something to get over that and just to deal with it.
For sure. Well, obviously, it's easy for us to say, like, not to try is to fail in the first place. But in my work with writers that have got blocks and this, I do come across a lot of people that have had some deep trauma somewhere in their life. Maybe in a childhood or even in the womb. Funnily enough, people can have trauma that stops them. But all fears are there just to help us move on, which is great. But again, I love the fact that this stuff's in your book. So you've got this incredibly wise book.
Thank you.
Really shoehorned in
Right.
with great humour and fantastic illustrations and with all these practical steps as well, and that's just such a rare gem.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah, absolutely. I think like the whole fear aspect. I just did a video on fear actually, and I think Susan Jeffers, who, as we all know, wrote that incredible book, Feel the Fear, right? Just she explains it in a way that I won't be able to explain it, but in terms of it being always there, it's never going to go away. It's the thing that has kept us as human beings evolving and surviving ever since the dawn of man, right? Because without fear, we wouldn't have, run away from dangerous animals or shied away from the poisonous insects or whatever it is. It's the thing that keeps us alive, really. So I like to sort of like treat it as almost like a friend. So the voice that's in your head is always the voice of fear. That's what I call it. And having a conversation with it and sort of like developing that relationship with it so that you understand each other allows you to sort of like become even more self-aware and allow you to get over the obstacles. Sometimes that voice is really telling you that it's telling you a lie, basically. And it's up to you to be able to douse that voice.
Wonderful. What a great idea. So just make your fears your friends. That's
Make
simple.
the fear as your friend, exactly.
Wow, that's great. So listen, you've got this great idea. You've embraced your fears, right? And you said hello to them, and they become your best mates. And when, every time one comes up, you go, instead of going, oh, I don't think I should do this, I'm just going to be terrible. You say, the fear's there just because I need to learn something, and when I learn that, I'll go onwards and upwards and this sort of stuff. So you've got your products, you've got your fears sort of in some sort of managed, caged manner, so you understand what they're about, and they are going to keep coming up as you go to each step. Where do you go next?
Well, I think it's a particularly tough time for the economy, as we all know at the moment. And I have to say that it's also affected some of the things and strategies that I've had to put in place in the last 18 months, really. And of course, there's the fear aspect coming in all the time with regards to where is the economy going and how is that going to affect me in the future. But in a way, I'm embracing that right now because as entrepreneurs, we have this ability to be able to change like instantly, whether that's our mindset or whether that's our strategy or business or any decision they're on. I think that we must embrace that change the whole time and be able to adapt. I mean, I think I've restructured our business about 3 times in the last 12 months with major sort of directional changes just to cope with going. So for me, where things are heading are the digital marketing company that I've already mentioned. So that I'd really like to push forward from now until next year. And also we're working on a new element within our existing business, which deals with the idea of products, because I think that I believe that we are actually going into a second dip in this recession. and this will last for about 9 months. So in the next 9 months, the tasks that I'm going to be concentrating on are actually IP-related, asset-related tasks, which will allow me to build a foundation for massive growth when we come out of this double dip, which essentially means we go into the a next age of boom, essentially. So,
and obviously with recessions, then recessions are also manna from heaven to entrepreneurs, because the best time to innovate is when we're in an adverse situation.
Absolutely, it's the best time ever. That's like, people are like so negative, but it's like there's so many opportunities out there. It's unbelievable. If people could just widen or broaden their experience, or, you know, their expectation of what the world's about, then they'll see all these opportunities. I mean, you look at the last few major recessions. Out of them, we got things like the internet, we got things like Microsoft. It's like world-changing innovation happens during recession. That's, I firmly believe that.
But hang on, is then the major change that we're going to get out of this recession the office-less future? And so your meta strategy in itself is also recessive proof.
It could be. I mean, one of the things that I really liked about the idea, besides it being such a fantastic cause to back, was that it's going to be that it's a booming market, even in this kind of a economic situation right now, in that from now on forth, with the ever advancement of technology, I truly believe in 50 years time we're not going to be working from any fixed location. I don't think that offices will exist in the way that we see them. I think that home spaces are going to evolve to become living spaces where everything is done, whether that is fully, totally like in super high-tech systems in your house that you press a button and it becomes an office, or whatever it is. I really believe that the home space is going to be the center of your life, where everything happens, and this will fundamentally change the way communities are as well, and the way communities communicate with each other. And I think it will bring back the whole community spirit as well. And this is all funded, you know, this is all from technology and the fact that we can communicate with anyone in the world, essentially, from anywhere.
Well, as indeed we are doing right now, because we've not met, have we? I hope that that changes in the near future.
Yeah,
we do meet face to face. But, you know, you could be anywhere on the planet. I think I'm in near Guildford, you're near in London at the moment.
That's right, I'm in Wimbledon.
I heard the siren go past. And, so, but we could literally be anywhere having this conversation right now.
That's right. We could be. Barring a few technicalities in some places in the world.
For sure, yeah. So I love the idea of the book, and I love it's got those two lovely layers, that meta layer and that really practical layer. I like the idea of your digital marketing agency. I like the idea of your meta strategy. But surely there's something else which is huge for you to offer everybody, and that's consultative services to help them put their meta strategies in place and help them build their businesses, and not just in any old service way that, you know, you just go in and doing settings on Twitter accounts or Facebook fan pages and things like that. You're looking at a very, very high level. And is that part of your plan too?
That is. That's kind of like the secondary mission of this new company I'm putting together. So the company is called InterVirtual, and one of its missions is basically to get into large corporate environments to help them with digital marketing, with that view I mentioned about having a foot in the door. The secondary aim for that company is to help successful entrepreneurs to build new businesses, whether that's online or offline. But the idea is I want to work with entrepreneurs who are already successful, who have, you know, maybe done 6 or 7 figure turnovers already in their existing businesses, and understand the level of investment that's required into setting up a new business. And I'd like that ability to be able to go in and help them to create the strategies that they're going to be employing, whether that's setting the business up, the marketing, the actual strategizing of how do you create the products and sell it. And I want to help them in this manner so that when they start to grow their company, so that when they start to become successful, because these people have a higher chance of being successful, being that they've been there and done that, that I will then be in a position to be able to help them to set up a company, perhaps without having an office. So again, it helps me in that mission, in that once they're successful and they're looking to grow their company, perhaps they're looking to hire some staff, or they need a PA or they need a designer of some sort, I can suggest to them, hey, look, have you thought about this way? You don't need an office. You can do it using this service or that service, or having them work remotely. And that way allows me to spread that message there as well, because you see, I'm passionate about this and I know that this can work, because I know people who have companies of over 100 people and they're completely virtual. So if they can do it, I know it's absolutely possible for anybody else to do it.
So reduced operating costs, reduced complexity, low inertia to move in the face of any adversity or opportunity. What's there not to like about doing it that way?
Well, you'd be surprised. There are people against it, because there are some people who look forward to the social aspects of working in an office, who look forward to that, you know, after work's drink in the pub on the Thursday night where they can get really, really drunk or something. They feel that they'd miss out on all of that because they currently don't take that as part of the responsibility in their lives to create a life they want. And if they were to go ahead and do that, it's a big ask for those types of people, but it's the challenge that they're going to have to take if they really want to become successful and live a life that they want.
Is there any sort of compromise solutions? You have like dress down Fridays, don't you? Could you have meet up Mondays?
Meet up Mondays, absolutely. I think, you know, as part of the way I'm promoting this is that I'm not saying don't have meetings. I am saying have meetings. I'm just saying you don't have to have an office to have the meeting. You could have it in fantastically inspirational places like, you know, Trafalgar Square, and just sit around, you know, have a little picnic in Hyde Park or something like that. There's so many places in the world, not just in London, where you can have a little get together of your team and talk about this or talk about that. We have mobile devices that allow us to do mini presentations like an iPad, right, on the fly. That we don't have to confine ourselves to this, you know, building structure that people seem to think that is absolutely necessary. The only thing that I think that people have these offices are there for is because they don't fundamentally trust their employees to do the work. So having them there where you can see them means that you can basically watch over them. And I think we're moving away from that.
So if you get it right, then you also bring in a culture of absolute trust, because the only way to get it right and get it working is to bring that in. So you get away with that sort of fear-based culture and get into this trust-based idea.
Absolutely. It is completely trust-based. Not only just trust-based, it's the fact that every employee is inspired by what the owner or the CEO is doing in the world. They're inspired by the vision and the message, that they're absolutely happy to be a part of it no matter where they are in the world. You know, one of the examples that I've written about in the book is a company called Zappos.com in the USA, run by a guy called Tony Hsieh. And he is, for me, massively inspirational, because here's a guy who inspires his entire company of thousands of people down to the absolute lowest levels. They totally love working for this company because of his vision and the way he runs it. And it's just phenomenal. I truly believe that that's the way business is going to be in the future. The institutionalized industrial age models of business that we have today is on its way out.
I so agree, Willis. So, Eddie, if people want to get hold of the book, where's the best place to get it?
Well, you can get it on Amazon, or you can get it at our company website. So if you were on Amazon, you can just search by my name, Eddie Yu, and you should be able to find it. It's called Speed, Lights and Elephants.
And that's Eddie Yu, YU, isn't
that's
it?
Right, yeah.
And if people want to get a hold of you, what's the website address?
The website address is www.ladyluckmedia.co.uk, or you could go onto my personal website, my personal blog, and have a read about my ramblings. It's eddieyu.co.uk.
Fantastic. And I'll put those down the bottom of this podcast when it goes out. And I wish you all the... Well, actually, I kind of wish you all the success and luck that you deserve. But it's on your way anyway, because your meta strategy is so good. I know that.
Thank you very much for having me here.